When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hoop Ballers! Welcome back to another episode of Today in Sports Betting, another edition of what is brought to you by hoop-ball.com. Find us at Hoopball Gaming on Twitter for the show, and then also go over to said website, hoop-ball.com. Check out all the free stuff, all the tickers on the side, the health and transactional highlights. The team coverage just added some Celtics coverage. Really, really exciting. And if you are on your phone right now, go over to Hoopball Celtics to check them out. Give them a support as they grow. Mavericks, Celtics, among the bevy of teams that we cover specifically. A lot of Kings coverage and a lot of analysis for fantasy basketball as you go into the playoff season. So I would recommend getting over there and using some of those tools. And then I would also recommend checking out a wager pass. You're going to be able to get access for 33 cents a day, less than, I think, if my math is right, to about 8 to 10 cappers, some really professional picks, not touts or stouts, but, you know, just really quality picks with some very great value. And one of those people will be on the show today. And we've recently added to the roster, but, you know, it remains the same a little bit here at Hoopball Gaming. And the top dogs, Dan Bespris and Aaron Bruschi themselves, get in there in the wager pass also. So check it all out. Give us a chance for a month. If you don't make your money back, I don't blame you. You can leave after the first month, but I guarantee you'll be hooked in the Discord chats and the banter, the insight, the profits, and everything else that comes with it. So lastly, before I get into the show, I want to make sure we talk about Manscaped, since they are the wonderful sponsor that takes care of us here on the show. Go over to manscaped.com, use promo code HOOPBALL20, HOOPBALL20, to get 20% off and free shipping. Use that on the Lawnmower 3.0 that has that awesome built-in LED light to get in those dark places, those dark, hard-to-reach spots. Then you also got the weed whacker, which I so desperately needed and love. The ear trimmer, the nostril trimmer. You know, I thought my mustache hairs were my mustache hairs, and I looked closer, and I had, like, nose hairs that was just kind of flowing into my mustache. So take care of that. Don't be like me. Use promo code HOOPBALL20. Get the free ship and get the 20% off and get your lawn mowed. Take care of your balls in that whole area. So, all right, without further ado, I'm going to bring Vince in. Vince is a familiar face, voice, and sight. So obviously we know who he is, but he is at VM Center on Twitter. I can't even say the word Twitter today. Anywho, Vince, it's been a while since we've been able to get a show going, and I'm excited that we've been able to pop on one here on this unexpected Monday morning, Monday early afternoon.
Yeah, I think it's been at least a month since we've done a show together.
That sounds about right.
And I mean, like, we obviously I host the Monday and Wednesday show, and, you know, fill in wherever I can and in other places. But together, it's been like at least a month.
Yeah, and that's probably short selling. It might have been a month and a day or two. I know things have been crazy for both of us, but yeah, you know, the winnings and the plays and the fun on the wager pass have also been, you know, pretty crazy.
Yeah, dude, the Discord is where it's at. I'm telling you this right now. The Discord is my favorite place to be at, just because it's a lot of people just talking about our picks. I guess because there's so many people like you and I, cappers, that are in the chat now that are so active. Like, remember when it first started, Devin, like all of us were like kind of in it and kind of not, because we didn't know how the Discord was going to go. And then now, like, I feel like I'm in it every day. If I'm not in the Discord, like talking about which picks I'm leaning toward and then giving out the wager pass on the Discord first before it's presented on the site, like, I don't know. I just feel like I'm missing a part of my day if I'm not in there. It's too much fun.
I love the amount of things that I learn also. You know, some of our followers and listeners and other contributors that don't really, maybe, you know, they don't really hop on the shows as much, but they're behind the scenes grinding. Our Discord warriors, they're like, you know, little blurb feeds, you know, out there. And I literally multiple occasions have gotten an alert from Discord or from one of our channels, and then like a minute or 45 seconds later, getting the flood of, you know, CBS and the Score and ESPN, and then the other guys I have the notification bells on for on Twitter. So I think that speaks volumes. You know, I think our followers and the people that we are in there with absolutely make it the best.
Yeah, I think, like we said, the camaraderie that comes in it, we're really building a community in those Discords, and I'm glad to be a part of it. I'm glad to be a active member as well as a hoop baller head, one of the orange figures in there that people are waiting to see what picks come out. So it feels good. I love the community we're building for sure.
Yeah, and just to kind of speak on the community aspect a little bit more here, and then we can get into games and whatnot. But just the other day, you know, I think I was 4-0 on my college picks on the day. And then I was like, F it, you know, that's it. All right. Like, should I stay or should I go? Like, I want to go. Like,
oh, yeah.
Just wrap it up. And then simultaneously, two of our followers, you know, they're just like, just do it. Like, just keep going.
Hell yeah. I was one of them. I was one of those people too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, roll that thing out there.
And so that's when I pulled the Abilene Christian double dip, the Abilene Christian spread and the under out. I had already had some handwritten notes on it. I'd looked at the game a little bit, but I dug a little further and then I submitted it in and turned in a real nice night. So
yeah, that same night is the night that we were talking about before the show started, the Holland versus Brunson card and my little Robin bet that I did, round robin. Right. Think of the word, Robin something, not Robin Hood, not you stockbrokers out there.
We were talking about some of that too, though.
That's true. That's what I'm going to school for, you know. So we definitely were talking a little bit about Robin Hood and the stocks. So, you know, maybe who knows? Maybe that's a podcast for the future. Who knows?
Yeah.
But this Oregon game, bro, it's still tied right now. Oh my gosh.
38-36.
Oregon's winning, bro.
Yeah.
You said this was going to be a nerve-wracking one. I took, just for those people out there, I didn't put it in a wager pass because it was so early in the morning. But I saw Iowa -5, and I took it. So we will see if it turns out to be a fruitful pick or not. I don't know. As of right now, I'm down by 2.
Yeah.
Technically down by 7. Yikes, man. This is a painful one to watch.
It's just that Dana Altman. Oh, Luke Gagarza just hit a nice 3, though.
We took the lead?
Yeah.
30. Oh, that's good. All right. You know, it's so early. It's the first half. We got this.
Luke Gagarza's got 17 points. He's 6-for-7 from the field. Not a whole lot. He's almost got half the team's points.
Yeah, it's because he's the only one that's going to be carrying us through this whole thing for sure.
Bohannon's got to get in there. He can hit some shots, but
we just need the threes to start dropping. That's my biggest concern on if their threes are going to be consistent or not. And as of right now, it's looking like a maybe.
They're not, from what I've seen, I think I've only seen a couple go in. So I think they're probably like 3 of 7 or so from the 3-point range at this current juncture. But I think the second half is going to set us up for some really great basketball.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun game all the way through. It's just going to keep me on my toes. I need them to start. I need their defense to really start pushing down. I mean, the fact that they're already pushing 40 points with 5 minutes to go here in the first half makes me a little nervous, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm confident in my picks.
So, can I ask you a question?
Ask it.
Full send. So, with making plays and whatnot, how many times do you find yourself – and, like, I'm in this situation today, but, like – when you see something and you're like, I might add it to my card, and then you just don't. Maybe times you just forget that you even put it in your scope, or sometimes you just don't play it or something. And then you look and you check back on it and you're like, well, damn it. And it's going exactly how you thought it would. You know, does that happen a lot?
I'd rather have those moments and know that I could have won than rather do that moment and lost. You know what I mean? I just put it as a mental note for next time. I mean, yeah, you always have FOMO, the fear of missing out, but.
Yeah. Bowling Green and Stetson, the CBI tournament quarterfinal, which
yeah,
that's the buzz.
That started at 8:30 this morning, by the way.
I know.
Freaking 30, dude. That's so early for basketball.
It's perfect for basketball.
I'm telling you this right now. I was up at 6:30 stretching to try and hop into the gym, and I feel exhausted already just stretching. So to have to go and actually play in a big game, in a tournament game, no way, bro. Oh, my God. I'd be exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how they do it. But the under is definitely on pace. So Stetson's down 13, 41.
Wasn't Stetson
and Bowling Green.
Wasn't Stetson the favorite or no?
I believe they might have been.
I thought they were 7.5-point favorites. No,
I don't know if it was that much, but
I thought I saw that. I don't know why. I could be wrong. I could be 100% wrong though.
I was on the Bowling Green side of this just because I love the Mac. Real quickly, I want to talk about this other CBI game, and it's a 1:30 Central Time tip. Coastal Carolina and Bryant. This is actually a really fun matchup, and Coastal Carolina's -3, over-under set at 157.5. I like getting the key number if you can find a 2.5 on the Chanticleers. I mean, at this rate, I'm going to be able to say Chanticleers almost for a full calendar year. I rode them heavy in college football. I bet I could find some betting angles on their college baseball side, and I'm going to ride them in the CBI. And I believe the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers are the team to beat in this field, and look for some points. But I think Coastal Carolina's got a chance to really make a run in the CBI. So I like them to cover, and at worst case scenario, push that 3. So I like the Chanticleers.
Bam, there you go, the Chanticleers. Don't know much about those teams, if I'm being honest.
Well, I wasn't really even meaning to talk about that game, but it was one of those I forgot about. You know, I forgot the CBI was tipping off today, you know, because all the tournaments are kind of overlaying on each other because of the COVID scheduling and all that stuff. So,
yeah. Isn't that weird? Speaking of COVID, isn't it weird that this Oregon team got to go? Because I saw that the team that they played against, by the way, I'm up by 3 right now, so we're a 2-pointer away from being in the money. part of it for me is, like, do you think that that's going to be a scare in the future games for COVID? That the top seed, like, if any of your guys get – any of your team members get COVID, that it could be just become a no contest, and that means your game could just be canceled. Like, you're just out of the tournament. I don't know. I just feel like that sucks.
I think
they only had one case, right?
Yeah. I think for the, for the other teams in the tournament, I think it's kind of eye opening because VCU had a chance to, you know, make some noise.
Yeah. I thought they were going to beat Oregon, to be honest.
Right. In some brackets, some spots, I had them, you know, being real close to the Sweet 16, you know, making one of those.
They're not beating Iowa, though.
No, definitely not. But I said being close. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, they apply enough pressure defensively, VCU does, you know, to kind of get in some of those spots in the tournament. And I think other teams are going to look and see, like, man, this is a team that had a chance, and they ain't playing around. So we need to get our guys together and get our minds right and get straight and make sure that no one's out fooling around and contracting COVID, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I believe with college kids is a lot easier, you know. But there is still, you know, there's fan interaction. There's fans there in the venue.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I thought it was so weird.
It's not a bubble. We keep hearing the term bubble, but it's not. You know, they're allowing fans.
Yeah, I don't know. I just felt like that was kind of messed up for VCU and the fact that Oregon got to automatically advance today.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. But at the same time, that was also the reason why I rode Iowa. I felt like missing out on those games was going to be it's already single elimination. So your first game in is the second round of this huge tournament that you don't even know if you were even supposed to make it out of the first round. So, I mean, pressure's on you, right? Like, I mean, now people really want to see if you're really about that team. Or maybe I'm wrong and it's more of the mindset that, you know, they have nothing else to lose. We're in it to win it, and that's why they're playing so good now. I mean, they're up by four now, and I was just winning. Right. So.
I just saw a three. And Luka Garza just got his stuff absolutely canned.
Yeah. I mean,
he got downward swatted.
44-46 yeah. With 2:40 to go. The second half is going to be where it's at, man. Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
We could be tied at half. You know, the way this game is going, each team keeps going on these little 4 or 5 point runs.
I just need Iowa to figure out how to stop the drives. I just feel like Oregon's literally getting whatever they want.
They just got a steal on an interior pass attempt. So,
I just feel like they're giving up a lot of penetration right now.
Mm-hmm. Garza right to the cup. His shoulder again, moves and over.
Again, 46-46. Was that a foul? No, foul. No, and one. Man, I feel like we're just talking here. This is a full conversation for a podcast. I think we should start breaking down these games, bro.
We're breaking down some live content. We broke down some games.
Who knows? Maybe we need to invest invest in Hot Mic with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson and start doing play-by-plays like this, bro.
Right. Why not?
Yeah, that'd be dope. That would be dope. Danny B, don't get mad at me.
Put it in the swear jar.
Don't do it.
Quarter.
Oh, man. My daughter would definitely ask me for that quarter, too. I just had to buy her a hamster. Cheese and rice, man.
Can you buy hamsters are about a quarter, right?
They're about like $12 or $12. Fun fact that I did not know, and I don't know if this is a fun fact, but it's a fact that I just found out because I'm not really big on hamster life, like critters like that. But an average lifespan for a hamster is only 3 years. Did you know that?
Average. I mean, that's not a lot of time at all. But I did not know that, to be quite honest. But hey, on this OU Gonzaga game, OU beat Mizzou, and I was obviously on the Mizzou side. And so we got a Gonzaga OU matchup here at 1:40 Central. And right now we got a high over under 155. I think there's going to be a lot of points, 14.5 point spread. OU has a chance of covering that and getting within double digits, I believe. It's going to be very, very potent.
There you are.
This is going to
lost you for a second.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I think you might have accidentally muted yourself, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, that might have happened then.
Your mute icon was on. So I started just rolling with the OU Gonzaga game.
Great game. I got Gonzaga winning that, though.
Unless you want to finish our conversation up about hamsters, I mean.
Nah, I mean, wait, we get it. They
we
only
can break down years. Hamster purchase.
Nah, it's all right. I mean, it was a great purchase. My dog likes it, too. My dog actually seems to really like the hamster. They chase it when he's in the ball, and they live for 3 years. That was the fun fact I had to give you.
Yeah. Well, and I was not of knowledge of that fact. So that is something you bestowed upon me, and I am gracious of it.
Bam. Gonzaga and whoever they're beating.
Your Oklahoma Sooners. You picked
them. We were killing it the other day with Oklahoma.
Yeah. And I was the one in the Discord server trying to be like, no, Missouri, you know, Mizzou.
Well, that's all right. Oh, that's another thing, man. Like, people, we've been going against each other a lot because we're always making picks. So I feel like you tend to always get, like, people going against each other. That's why I never tell anybody, like, only you don't always have to follow me. Just follow people that you trust and use it all as, like, a reference to your own picks. It's your money that's on the line. Just be confident right in the pick that you make. Like, right now, I'm losing. I'm losing with Iowa. But I still feel like we're going to cover -5. They're a good team.
You know, you and I recently talked, and by recent, I mean like 30 minutes ago, kind of about the change of my philosophies with betting and just the way I'm looking at the market and everything. And one thing I've noticed is you can go into sweat mode if you want, but the bets are going to play out how the bets are going to play out. And you already did your analysis and you closed your browser tabs and you locked everything. So why not just enjoy it as a basketball game? Sure, keep in mind of your bet. But, you know, like, I've gotten a lot more faith and I've felt a lot more different energies at the end of games when I thought it was absolutely a crapped out bet. You know, 2 minutes left and all of a sudden it's alive again, you know, or something, you know. So I think, A, just kind of – that you being cheesy and letting the term come out, you know, let it ride. Once you figure out how to actually truly do that and just be like, all right, F it, bleep it, you know, like this, I made this bet. Here we go. Like,
that's where I'm at right now. I'm just yelling two tears in a bucket, duck it. You know what I mean?
Yep. Chuck it in the, you know what, bucket.
Exactly.
Chuck it in the ucket bucket.
The ucket bucket.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of how I've gone into this, and it's allowed me to really enjoy March Madness a ton, a lot more. So, and I'm having some success, so that's always – maybe that's why I'm enjoying it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe
do you feel pressure? Do you feel pressure knowing that, like, a lot of people are riding our picks now? Like, just as, like – because we are growing. We've been growing so much this past year that, like, do you ever feel the pressure of those picks?
Pressured, no, because I usually approach it with a high amount of confidence.
Right.
But what I would say is probably, like, if I go and I go, like, you know, 1-4 in the wager pass and I lose, and it's on 2 for Tuesday and I lose someone like 7 units, you know, I'm like, damn, that sucks. A lot. Like, I don't like that. Because, you know, before you talk about the growth, but before the growth, you know, we still do. And I think you always do have the sense and the presence of credibility, you know, and being something in a massive growth phase, but still so, you know, virgin, you know, we need credibility and I need to hit these picks and I definitely need to make sure I know what I look like, not look like, but show that I do know what I'm talking about when I talk about small schools like Coastal Carolina. But, you know, fear or pressure, no. I don't know what word I would put with it, though. But there is definitely a maybe expectation that I do feel.
I have a sense of pride in my picks, but I think pressure isn't probably necessarily the right word, because when we go into it, obviously we put in I put in my analysis. I literally go through my checklist when going through games. I go through the injury reports before I put anything in the wager pass. Like, when I do the podcast, a lot of my research, I'll be honest, isn't fully done. It's just like where I'm leaning. I never give away my wager pass picks, because obviously if I did that, then why would anybody be paying for it when they can get it for free on a podcast like this, you know? But our picks have been, like, for example, my NBA picks, I'm at 52.something% on the year, just behind Troy on the NBA season. And I don't feel pressure into getting any of them right, but I have pride in every pick that I make. And I know that I do have people that are following, because they're messaging me and like, hey, what are you thinking, before my picks are even done, you know? So, and when I know people are watching, I think you're right. I think pressure is definitely not there. I think it's just pride. And then you want to be like looking at, they become like friends of yours. You know what I mean? You don't want your friend to lose because you're losing. So I don't know. I just find that interesting, because you never really think about that stuff until you have to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, the whole friend dynamic of it, the familiar faces and names and followers and whatnot, you know, you do kind of start taking a personal sense to it. So doing someone dirty intentionally or not is something that we try not to do and that we do try to stray away from here at Hoopball Gaming. So
for sure.
We won't do you dirty. That should be our slogan.
Man, I cannot believe Oregon has an 8-point lead heading into the half.
Yeah. Huh.
Number 7 Oregon. They came out playing interesting.
Chris Still. Duarte is
I did not actually expect their defense to be like this.
He just got fouled. Yeah, he just got fouled on a 3-point attempt at the end of the buzzer or at the buzzer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they're going to the line for 3?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So
that's worse.
This OU Gonzaga game to wrap it up, because I don't think we ever truly did. Do you think Gonzaga rolls the 14.5, or is that too big? I feel like it's too big.
I feel like it's a little too big.
They've won 24 games in a row by double digits. So
I know, but Oklahoma's a good team. They're scrappy.
Yeah. And they've won some games. Some really tough games. So
I just think 14 is a lot. I never like those types of big spreads. I kind of like – I try to find something that are a lot closer just so that you know you're going to be in a real game. I will say this. I think Oklahoma is scrappy. I don't think they're going to get ran up on. So I'm taking the under on 155.5. I like that more than anything.
I think there will be a good amount of points, but I think both teams are going to – be patient. You know, you got some really established coaches. It's hard for me to establish an opinion on the side or the total. This is one of those games that I'm about to turn on the second TV and pop on at 1:40 here my time and have on to watch. One game that I am high on, though, one game that I do want to break down a little bit, is featuring a play-in game and a 14 seed. And this is for a chance to go to the Sweet 16. So we're getting a double-digit seed advancement to this one slot of the Sweet 16 at least. And Abilene Christian, 14 seed, going up against UCLA.
UCLA -5.
You got UCLA -5?
They play at such a speed that I don't think Christian's going to be able to keep up.
Yeah. Well, I am actually on Abilene Christian +5. I love this Abilene Christian team. There it is. So, different analysis. 133 is the total.
I like the over on that too.
Yeah, I was trying to decide because they showed their elite level defense against Texas. In the first half from the jump. The effort, the defensive presence, you know, it was there, their assignments. This is a team that is number one in the country, and I believe opponent turnovers per game, or they might be number one as a defense in steals per game. So pressure is something that they can definitely create. However, UCLA, they are good at protecting the ball. They usually don't allow a bunch of opponents to get steals. And I believe that's due in part by Tiger Campbell, the dynamic point guard for the Bruins. And I think that Abilene Christian has a chance to shoot above 50% as far as an effective field goal percentage goes and hold UCLA to under 50% on the EFG side of things because of that defense and because of the downtick, or I should say uptick, for opponent offenses against the Bruins and their effective shooting percentages. UCLA's got to avoid getting, poorly matched up and, you know, outworked early in this game. Because if Abilene Christian gets in a groove early, like they did against Texas, and they get some, you know, they get 3-4 stops in a row and they're grinding and they're getting steals and they're drawing fouls, good luck moving them. I mean, this is a very solid team in Abilene Christian. This is one of my, actually, this is probably the game I'm most excited for on the card because Wow. Like I said, play-in game. I don't know, man. There's some good games on the card.
I'll bet you 10 push-ups that UCLA wins by 6.
Well, I can do 20 push-ups at least.
I can do 10. I'm not doing 20. I already worked out this morning. I'm done.
All right.
I'll bet 10 push-ups with you.
All right. And the losing side, we'll post it. We'll post it on Twitter.
There you go. That works. That works. 10 I'll, big push-ups.
I'll digitally give you my push-ups.
Yep, yep. It'll become an NFT. Those things where we just take a video and put it for sale and see how many people want to buy me doing push-ups.
Right. All right. So I'm on Abilene Christian and Vince is on UCLA, the Bruins, and there are push-ups on the line. So stay tuned on that. Actually, I think this next game or the game following is one of the ones that I'm more excited for. I don't know. Like I said, it's just a great card. Number 13 seed, Ohio, taking on Creighton. That's the West region, second round, chance of a Sweet 16 appearance. Creighton minus 5.5, over under 149. I think this game can get to 152, 151 on the total. Ohio, obviously dynamic with Preston. This is a Steph Curry-like player in the NCAA tournament, just leading and willing his team by pure skill and raw talent and IQ. And then you've got Creighton on the other side who's starting to figure stuff out. And then, you know, Ohio's got a good supporting cast also. So don't rule out the efficiencies of these offenses. Creighton, like I said, starting to roll. Zagorowski's starting to get hot. And they're also starting to get some interior play also from their forwards. So I think that this is a game that's going to be highly entertaining. 5:10 Central Standard Tip. And I am, like I said, but at the start of the tournament, Selection Sunday area shows, I was talking about how it was going to be hard not to back the dogs all the way through this tournament, just because I had a sense that with how conference tournaments went, with 2020 and COVID in general, that underdogs were just, it was going to be a common theme. So hard for me not to back the Bobcats here. The feel-good story of Jason Preston, who received 0 Division I college offers out of high school, was a 0-star recruit, has a chance to be an NBA player now, probably will be. So look for some excitement out of this game.
Can I give another underdog that I think is going to blow your mind, but I really think it happens?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we're gonna see a pretty big upset today.
I think where you're going.
I think I'm gonna take Maryland over Alabama.
I knew it. You know, I'm not mad at that because I was looking at some numbers and some historical science about Alabama and where they specifically are in the bracket as the top number 2 seed. Not a lot of success. As that number 1-2 seed. They hardly make it to the Sweet 16. And they're young, but you're seeing teams having issues with the size of Maryland. And Maryland is posing some serious issues. Alabama obviously has a couple of dynamic players. I can't remember their names. I never can, so that sucks. But usually I'm good with personnel. This is honestly a really good call right here. And I'm excited to see how this game plays out. Mark Turchin, he's a great coach. Coaches in March are hard to go against.
I just think a 2-10 underdog with an offense that I think is very versatile. It's fast. It likes to shoot threes. And then their defense, I think they're going to play heavy zone again. They played zone in their last game. I think Maryland's going to stay with the zone and really try to eliminate offensive rebounds. If they can do that, where Alabama strives is just being able to bully you, I feel. They like to get down low and push through, and they get the easy shots. Like, that's what makes them so efficient. Alabama's a good team, dude. I just think Maryland has the ability. They have some really good scores that are being overlooked. Obviously, take the points if you want to feel safer, but I think I'm going to sprinkle a full unit on Maryland getting the upset.
Well, we don't sprinkle, we play. We make plays. So got a full unit looking like maybe on the line on Maryland. I like the +5.5. I'm going to roll with you on that. Only reason I'm not rolling with the full-on Maryland play is because I've got Alabama going to a deeper part of the bracket. My two main brackets of record that I need to go ahead and cash in some prize money on. So I like the spread. You know, I am fearful of Maryland in this spot, and at plus, you know, double your money at 210, that's a really, really good spot in my opinion. I was going to do a quick rewind to 6:10 p.m. LSU, Michigan. Michigan down Isaiah Livers. I think this is the spot where it hurts them. And LSU playing incredibly so as of late. Great run in the SEC tournament. I'm taking the plus five with LSU. I think that they even win outright. And the over-under is at 148. The faster this game is, the more it's going to be an advantage to the Bayou Bengals. So, man, you know, I thought Michigan was going to be the number one seed first to lose, but Illinois beat them to it. But the Big Ten, they're not having a good showing. Their big teams are just getting knocked out left and right. So, LSU and the way that they push the ball, they're three-headed monster. Man, I'll tell you what, I even like the over 148.
Yeah, a lot of points in that game could be had. To be honest, I don't really know why, but I feel like LSU is another team that I feel like no one's talking about enough.
Yeah. One of the first things I said, you know, is like a number 8 LSU seed. Man, don't want to see them in the tournament.
Yeah, like that's a – I feel like I get it. Like they had their struggles in the beginning of the year or in the middle of the year. I can't really remember when I saw it on the what's the channel called where they only do college sports? Was it BTN?
ESPNU.
That works.
Or SEC Network.
SEC Network. There you go. SEC Network. There you go. I was watching them and they're talking about their struggles. And when I saw that LSU was like a number 8, 9 seed, I was like, that's crazy. That's a good team. And not only that's a good school. Like you don't really see that team and say, oh yeah, that's a team that's easily walked through. Normally they always put up a fight. So I don't know. I feel like they're an underrated team so far.
Yeah. What I'll say in parting on this game before we talk about the next one. And then we got some NBA to get into. I think we got two more college games, but LSU, or I'm sorry, Michigan with and without Isaiah Livers, just look up those numbers. And that is what I will leave you with. It's monumental.
Wow.
Polarizing, completely different opposite ends of the spectrum. Colorado, Florida State. I think this is probably going to feature the most balanced matchup. I think this is going to be probably the most, the game with the most chance of going to overtime. Colorado, man, I was looking at fading them in the first round just because I fell trapped to the trendy Georgetown pick and my love of Patrick Ewing and the feel-good story of that. But, you know, they were the 1-5 seed that pushed through, the best seeding in Colorado program history. And Florida State struggled against UNCG. Greensboro got that cover for me by a hook, so – but Colorado, they got probably the best guard, one of the best guard, top three guards in the tournament, and McKinley Walker. And then they also got a talented big man who facilitates with screen setting and secondary touch passes, et cetera, setting up other teammates in Batie. So look for him to be involved. Florida State, Colorado, I think the opportunity of cashing an under ticket in this is kind of nice because Leonard Hamilton has a really great coaching philosophy as far as defensive schematics. And then Colorado, people don't talk about them a lot, but their zone defense and their length can create some issues. And Florida State has had an inefficient offense the last month or so. Look how they performed against Georgia Tech. Look how they performed in their opening round game. Granted, UNCG was the top defensive team in the Big South Conference, but that's the Big South Conference. As much as I love them, you can't be coming out stale and stagnant against those small schools. And then, Colorado plus money, underdog. I like it. I like the 5 seed over the 4 seed here.
Yeah, I don't have much opinion on this game. I didn't do any research on that game, but I'm going to trust you because I've tailed you a few times already this year. And I think you're our site's number one college picker right now, right? Aren't you?
Yeah. Well, to be honest and to be fair, though, there's not a lot of us that make college plays on hoop-ball.com.
I mean, doesn't matter. There's three of us. You're the number one out of the three. They got to pick between all of us. You're the number one to follow. What do you mean?
I guess. Whatever. I'll take it. All right. Well, we talked about Maryland, Alabama already. And then this matchup, I was hoping it was going to be a game in the bracket, but I didn't have a lot of faith in KU. They got McCormick in late when they weren't supposed to have him. So, you know, they got lucky there. They dodged a bullet, but they still got some ins and outs, people that didn't travel with the team initially. So make sure that you look through and find what you can as far as lineup stuff in this game. This is an even spread. I had a USC minus 1.5 ticket, and I, you know, my value has evaporated because now it's a, you know, it's a pick 'em over under 135.5. That defense and the Mobley brothers of USC up against this Bill Self team, coach team of KU falters in the tournament historically. This is a great defensive USC team. I don't know if you've looked into it much, Vince, but it is featuring a team in your home state. So,
Oregon.
What'd you say?
So which one is, which one are you talking about?
USC and Kansas. State? Oh wait, is Oregon your home state?
No. You're okay. USC is my home state.
Okay.
I don't have much on this game. Honestly, I was looking more at the morning, and then I'm sorry I seem distracted. It's because of my phone is getting blown up right now with Kyrie Irving news.
Oh.
Kyrie Irving is going to be missing the Nets next few games due to a family issue. And knowing Kyrie and how big of a family guy he likes to be, this could be something that three games is for now and could be looking at more soon.
Like at least a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I can see him being out until KD comes back.
Wow. That is some news.
Yeah, really sorry. Good. So I was distracted, but for a good reason. Not for anything like crazy, but because – honestly, one of my fantasy teams has Kyrie Irving in it, and I think I might be screwed out of the final playoff spot if I don't have him this week. There's 3 weeks left until playoffs, and I only hold a game and a half lead over the final playoff spot. So we have six teams that go to playoffs. I'm in six by a game and a half. Ooh. Yikes. And then I'm in a league with Danny Bespris right now that I'm in fifth place, but I'm only a game and a half ahead of seventh place. So that's kind of scary too, honestly. I don't know what's gonna happen if I'm gonna be making the playoffs this year. I made so many bold trades that now I don't know what to do. I traded Drew Holiday for KD. That's how big of a trade I made, if you want to know.
Not only did I do that,
I made the stupidest trade. My mindset was I'm gonna have Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant on my team at the same time, which is why I did the trade. But, dude, I traded Robert Williams and Drew Holiday for Anthony Davis and Blake Griffin.
Ooh.
That was rough. That was no bueno.
Well, yeah, I mean, so good news about Blake Griffin. At least his situation was upgraded in Brooklyn.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, maybe with Kyrie out, that means we're going to need to have more Blake with the ball in his hands. Maybe more assists. I don't know. We'll see. That's more fantasy conversation. But if you're ready to talk NBA picks, I'm ready for that as well. I don't know where we are with the I think that was the college game, right? That was the last one.
Yep. I've got my card up for the NBA already. Do you want to start with Kings Cavs?
Sure. Yeah. We got the Kings -4 on the road in Cleveland. And I'll be honest, I don't trust Sacramento. I live in this city. I know this team like the back of my hand. I've been fortunate enough to cover this team for a while, and I cannot tell you what they're going to do. I couldn't tell you if they're going to come out and be the team that I think that they can be. I can't tell you if they're going to come out and outperform. you never know. You just never know. You can never call it with the Kings. And I blame it mainly on the coaching, but I can't even say that because the Kings have gone through so many coaches to where that can't even be used as an excuse anymore. It's just a thing that happens. So I'm taking the Cavs. I think Jared Allen's real. If Garland and Sexton are playing, I just feel like that team has a real chance of winning. Torian Prince, if he's playing, helps them defensively. I mean, they just have so many guys in Cleveland that match up decent against this Kings horrible defense. So I don't trust the Kings. I will take the Cavs here. I'm at +4 and feel pretty good about it. And I'm going to take the over on 223 because no defense is going to be played in this game whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. You could see a huge game tonight between Sexland, and that is Mr. Sexton and Mr. Garland.
Another game. De'Aaron Fox is a stud today.
Yes. Yeah. De'Aaron Fox could definitely have a huge, huge DFS game.
Yeah, for sure.
Thunder Timberwolves, another defense optional game. Minnesota's a 3-point favorite.
Yeah.
I want to take the Thunder as the dog.
I'm taking them as the win the game. Like, I'm not taking them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just straight up.
Yeah. You know why? Because I have this gut feeling. There's no rumors, no reports. I just, from how I read that Minnesota team, it would not surprise me if Karl Anthony Towns sits this game.
Yeah.
Like, it's something that's definitely possible. So we'll see. I mean, I could be wrong, but I've seen crazier things happen.
Absolutely.
And it would not surprise me. And I just think Al Horford plays as well, so that stops Karl Anthony Towns. Shai Gilgeous has been playing great. Ty Jerome, he is solid. Jerome. He's a solid. Oh my God, he's solid. And then so is Theo Maledon, solid defender. I actually think he's an underrated backup point guard in this league. The Thunder have some nice players. And then we haven't even mentioned one of my favorite players on that team. Give him 2 years, and he's going to be a player that people are going to be adding to their rosters, like in the third round of most leagues, and that's Lu Dort. That deep, he's like a Marcus Smart type of player and has the upside to be better than Marcus Smart. Like, he's a good player. I really like Lu Dort.
I really like Isaiah Roby. I like his game a lot too. Thunder got a lot of these really good young players.
How about Moses Brown?
Moses Brown, absolute hottest pickup in fantasy land this week.
He is solid, bro. He is a 12-13, I think, the other day as a starter. Dude was on fire. He could not be stopped against Houston. Christian Wood thought he was too big.
Yeah,
that was a great game.
Yeah, that was a great game. Thunder to get the win outright, I think that's very plausible. I think it's what we're going to see happen.
Another dog in this next game, too. I don't know why, but Boston is the underdog in Memphis against the Grizzlies. Now, I get that Jonas Valanciunas has been playing really well, but as good as Valanciunas plays, the defense on the wing between Brown and Tatum, I think – gets them the win here. I really do. I don't see where. I mean, obviously with Kemba being out and it's the second night of a back-to-back, I can see where the mindset could change to that. But I personally don't see. I don't think the Celtics let them get that win. I think they leave Memphis with a 5-point victory, to be honest. So with the points, but I got them winning outright.
Who needs a win more right now? I mean, this would get Boston over 500. It would get them better positioning in the East, which right now, I mean, Atlanta's the sole possessive owner of fourth place. So that's a little unexpected. They're on a Nate McMillan heater, and that's what he can do for your club. He should have been the coach to start the season, to be honest. I mean, I like Lloyd Pierce, but how could you kind of do that to a guy? I get it as a business standpoint.
It's Celtics. Working.
Yeah, it's work. I mean, since he's the coach, I think they've lost like three games.
Maybe. Also, I think John Morant's going to get clamped down by Marcus Smart. This is Marcus Smart's first game as a true starter again since returning from injury.
Yeah,
with no Kemba. So I think you're going to see Marcus Smart take on the role of guarding John Morant, and I think it's going to be a different type of defense for Jaw tonight. I mean, I can just see it.
Yeah.
It's but I could also see Marcus Smart being out too. Sorry.
No, you're good. I was just going to kind of piggyback on that and, you know, obviously say keep an eye out, and it's going to be an important for who's in, who's out. But, you know, keep an eye on the lines. You know, if you see major shifts in that, Vegas knows something, you know. So that's something that I usually do to keep a vibration down. And want to talk this Hornets-Spurs game real quick. And I think we can probably both agree that we can just go ahead and throw out Raptors-Rockets unless you want to talk about it.
Raptors, Rockets. Oh, yeah. Pascal Siakam over 21.5 points. That's it.
Okay. I figured you might have had something in it, so I didn't want to completely discard it.
Yeah, over 21.5 points for Pascal Siakam. It started at 20, though. So I don't know. I thought prop bets were set a day in advance, but I think they're live, too. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I get confused by their picks.
I think some spots do offer some live prop betting. I've seen some of that going on in the Discord chat.
Speaking of prop bets, did you see my +600 almost hit yesterday of James Harden and Russell Westbrook both having 10 assists and 2 steals for +600? Dude, I put $40 down to win like 240, and I was so close, dude. James Harden got hurt with like 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and he was 2 assists away from me cashing. Oh my gosh, on a +600, it was a lotto ticket. I tweeted about it, so for the results of it, for those who didn't see, we were 2 assists shy, and it was all because James Harden got hurt, and he got hit in the neck, dude. That's another thing we're gonna have to look out for, because we might see James Harden questionable in the next game due to a neck injury. Kyrie out, KD out. Bruce Brown's going to be huge. If he's still on your waiver for some odd reason, go pick him up, because that's going to be a huge pickup. And then Blake Griffin might see additional minutes as a ball handler.
Yeah, so. Yeah. He is a big guard. That's what they guard big.
Sorry, one more prop that I hit on that I didn't tweet about, and I should have, because I felt like it was the most obvious one, but it didn't pay out as big. I think it was like +120 or something like that. But Blake Griffin in the first game getting a dunk as a net, that happened.
How is that even available?
Bovada. Bovada had that available. So that wasn't on my bookie.ag. I told you I use multiple different sites, but
yeah, you got to shop. It's smart. I would recommend it for all of our bettors. Yeah. If I can get a 5.5 versus a 6.5 somewhere, absolutely. You bet your darn boots I will.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that was a good one. Just betting on Blake Griffin dunking.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what he's good at. So
that was his first dunk of the year.
Was it? Holy crap.
Yeah.
I know he's been injured a ton, but.
Yeah, but this is a full year where he did not dunk the ball at all.
I did not know that. That's crazy.
That was his first dunk. That's why it was a +120 bet.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why I said I just saw an alley-oop. I should have tried to see if there was an alley-oop bet. But the question was, does Blake Griffin get dunked in his first Nets game? And I said yes, and it paid +120, and it hit.
Oh, yeah. Guess Detroit was playing him a lot of the time away from the basket in that offense.
Yeah, a lot of ball handling for a power forward shooting 36% from the field.
It's efficient. That's how you win games.
Next up we have what, Pacers Bucks?
I think we skipped over Hornets Spurs and then Jazz Bulls. I was kind of interested in taking the Bulls +8.5. Didn't know how stupid that was. The Jazz are tough to bet on and against, in my opinion, being as good as they are. And then the Spurs as 5-point favorites at home. The Hornets are down. Obviously, LaMelo Ball, we heard about the news of that, his hand fractured, RIP, rookie of the year tickets for LaMelo. Pour one out for your ticket there.
No, I think he still has a good chance of winning that. I think he did enough. I think if he's taken out of the conversation, who do you put in first place now? Is it automatically Anthony Edwards in your mind because of how hot he's been with scoring? Or is it a guy like Tyrese Haliburton who – surprised most people with his IQ and is still playing good basketball overall?
You know, I think I would go obviously with the latter just because Halliburton's done it from day one and even in, you know, preseason ball. We've seen these awesome flashes. And if the Kings can just start winning some games, you know, because I incorporate the team's outcome and everything on, you know, my MVP and my rookie of the year, et cetera, opinions. And, you know, with Anthony Edwards, I'm sorry, but, you know, the Timberwolves, they're not doing anything. So if the Kings somehow make the playoffs, or they finish just outside of, or they have to get into that playoff scenario to get into the playoffs, and Halliburton is a big part of that. I know he's kind of downticked a little with his numbers lately, but, you know, if he does it from day one all the way through and he stays healthy, you know, why shouldn't he get the trophy? I know what LaMelo was doing when he was in was great, but, you know, if you get hurt, you get hurt. I mean, that's the facts of life.
I wonder if James Wiseman has a chance to make a late push as well.
That was one of the other names I thought of, but as a center,
who's been getting limited minutes.
Yeah,
he's done up and down. I just think it's going to be Halliburton, Edwards, or obviously LaMelo. And I think LaMelo did so much from the becoming a bench player to being a starter. I think he got it. I think he's won it no matter what.
Yeah. And shout out to the Hornets and Borregas in general for being able to make that work and then not completely tarnish or diminish the value of the rest of your guys. I mean, we knew that Graham was going to see a downtick just based off how good he was last year, but we thought that was like the crucifixion of him. Like that was the nail in his coffin. Or we thought Rozier was going to suffer a downtick, or his efficiencies and stuff and usage were going to go down. That's not been the case. So that offense has looked good.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no, I read that wrong. Okay, never mind. Not breaking news. I thought I saw breaking news to break on this. Ooh, I read it wrong. Okay. I thought I saw Andre Drummond was going to the Mavs.
Oh.
That's not what happened. It says that the Mavs are interested in making a trade for Andre Drummond.
Him and Porzingis together would be kind of cool, actually.
I feel like if Drummond committed to becoming a roller, like a hard roller, oh, that would be scary.
It'd be hard to stop him and Luka.
My God, let's think of you having, if you guys in Dallas already like having Boban, think of having everything Boban wants to be in Andre Drummond. Oh my gosh. Yeah, you have to overpay a little bit, but at least the Lakers or the Nets won't have him.
Yeah.
You get to make a solid push. I think that would be a solid addition for them.
I think this is absolutely crazy because his usage is so low. But could you imagine just a limited, weird Rick Carlisle rotation or set or sub package featuring Boban and Drummond? Like, no one else would get rebounds ever in those 4-minute windows that we would see it.
I want to just see both of them stand still and dunk.
Just feed each other. Like,
the crazy thing is that Boban makes Drummond look small. That's how big Boban is.
Right.
That's crazy. Like, because Drummond is, I think, 7'1". Yeah. And Boban's like 7'3".
Yeah.
He still makes, and because of his size, he's like girth wise. Like, when you see him in person, he still makes Drummond look like 5'9". Like, he's fucking huge. Again, swear jar.
Oh, that's two. Uh-oh.
You got two.
Well, we only got a couple games to talk about left, so I think you can make it stretch for your third one.
All right, well then here, I got one. Let me make it up here, by watering real quick, my mouth
Jazz,
out.
Jazz Bulls. Should I take the +8.5 on the Bulls?
No.
Okay, all right, good. Thank you. All right, that's all I needed to hear.
Don't do that. Right. I'm also avoiding that Spurs Hornets game just because I feel like Devontae Graham is being overlooked. I think the Hornets can still be a good team with Devontae Graham as their starter. But and so if I had to lean one way or the other, I would go points, but I'm just avoiding that game as a whole because I want to see the Hornets play good with no LaMelo, because LaMelo brought a swagger to that team.
He did.
I felt so.
Yeah.
There's that. But I got another underdog pick for you. You guys know how much I love this team, and they proved me right yesterday because I bet on them in the early morning game against the Heat, and that's these Indiana Pacers, bro.
Yeah, I love the way the Pacers play. Sabonis, one of my favorite players in the league right now. really, really like, you know, the Holiday Brothers. Those are pretty cool. Caris LeVert's in there now.
TJ McConnell going to be the most overpaid backup point guard, I think, in the league after this year.
Yes. I mean, what? He averages almost like
three steals a game.
I was going to say three steals a game and then like six or seven assists with like a 6.5 A to T turnover ratio, you know?
This is going to be the one time I say it for him. I'm speaking on behalf of Danny Bespris. He recommended a drop of TJ McConnell. He dropped TJ McConnell, and I believe he said 40% of his leagues. The next game, he goes for 16, 13, and 3. Gross.
Oof. Yeah, and he's efficient. Like, he's not going to put up a ton of points, but he is a very efficient and very smart, cerebral player. He'll penetrate. He probes. And he may not shoot a lot of the time, but – and then here's the thing. He's a small guy, so he's going to get fouled a decent amount too. So,
yeah, he gets the line quite a bit, shooting like 78% from the line as well.
Yeah, high volume there. And pinpoint shooter, so really good passer. I like the pace – you know, I was actually going to bring this up. I was listening to Sports Grid on Sirius XM this morning. And Ariel Epstein and I can't remember the Jared Smith, they were talking about this game and they were talking about the weird movements so far. They had Rob Perez on and he talked about how the movements on this line make it seem like someone's going to be out on the Milwaukee side. So if we get this early, I mean, nothing's really confirmed, but there's been some movements on it. So I love the Pacers' value in this. Now, are you talking about taking the Pacers straight up?
No.
Okay.
Definitely take the points.
Big shot.
But I can see this happening, though, and you can tell me if I'm crazy, but how I see the Pacers winning is they're going to go down to Sabonis early to try and get Giannis into foul trouble. You got to remember, like, the Pacers could be without Miles Turner, who rolled his ankle yesterday. Oh. He returned to play after retaping it, but the Pacers could be without Miles Turner, and I actually think it makes them a little bit better with Sabonis being at the five. I think it makes them slightly better because then they can be a more of a shooting team. I think you'll see Dougie McBuckets step into the starting role, and then you're going to have a lineup where it's Sabonis, LeVert, Brogdon, Dougie McBuckets, and Justin Holiday.
Yeah.
And you have shooting and defense everywhere.
Well, and then another thing who will get more minutes is Bitaze. And his awkward length and, you know, style of play could also really pose a problem for Giannis too while he's out there. So maybe that's something to keep an eye out on as well. Really interesting game. I think that's going to be a fun game to watch. Real just, you know, blue collar game right there. Lunch pails and all that.
Last game of the day, I think we talked about all of them, is Hawks Clippers. And you brought it up already. Hawks been on this crazy win streak, have now got to fourth place by themselves in the East. They actually hold it legitimately by themselves, the Atlanta Hawks, this team that's been struggling. Bogdanovich just had a 23-point game the other day. Is he back? Probably not, but maybe. Another bold prediction. Hawks cover the spread, +6.5.
I mean, that is bold. One thing we have working for us, though, is the fact that the Clips usually rest someone. I'm not sure. You know, this is the last game of the evening, so I doubt we're going to get all the lineup stuff here at 12:38 in Oklahoma at the current juncture of the day. So keep an eye out, two eyes out, and maybe an ear on that. So
Ibaka's already ruled out.
Who else was it?
Ibaka is ruled out, and then Kawhi, and it looks like Kawhi and Paul George are both playing. Breaking news here now, Kemba Walker and Tristan Thompson. It's really not breaking news.
Yeah, I think we were expecting Kemba.
Both of those guys are out. Second, I have a back-to-back for Kemba, so rest management and Tristan Thompson's in health and safety protocols. But it looks like Derrick Rose has officially passed and cleared health and safety protocols, and he will be available for the first time since February 28th. So a month in protocols, and he is finally out. That's another thing about Kyrie. He's going to miss 3 games for the family situation. But when he comes back,
he's going to have to
retest.
Yeah.
Yep. Retest and be quarantined. Yep.
Wow.
Wow.
That's going to be a pretty decent blow there. Pretty big blow.
Dude, plus 6.5. I think Clint Capela plays a huge factor in this game against Zubac. John Collins, I think this could be his showcase game of the night. They're the primetime game of the day. They're the final game of the night. And it's 3 days before the trade deadline. You're about to see stuff. And I don't know if we have time to really cover it because we have been doing this show for a while now. But Aaron Gordon has officially requested a trade from the Orlando Magic. So that's going to be a name circulating now. He's already been a name that's been in trade talks already. Links to the Kings and a few other teams I know that have interest in Aaron Gordon. My question is, what is his value? I don't know what the upside is anymore. I think a lot of people have given up the upside mindset, but I think this is just such a coincidence, right? That he finally drops 30 points against the Nets in a win against the Nets. And now he's requesting the trade. I'm guessing his agent thinks that his value is higher, but
well, maybe he thinks with LeBron out, the Lakers would be interested.
I mean, they would be. I think that'd be a great pickup for them. Give up Kuzma.
I heard something about maybe them trying to get Oladipo also.
Oh, yeah. Oladipo is going somewhere. I don't know where, but Oladipo will be in a trade. I was hoping that would be Sacramento, but I don't think it's going to be. I think the Kings have the best option.
Yeah. The deadline is going to be a crazy swirl of transactions.
Really? You think so?
I think it's going to be one of those that it's got exciting stuff that happens, you know, some names that we probably were expecting for a while now. I think we're going to get some closure and solidification on some of, you know, our guesses or what rumors were out there and what other contenders are. I think we're going to start seeing, I mean, what I like about the trade deadline, nonetheless, when all the dust settles, we see who's trying to do what for the playoffs or then who's trying to do what for future positioning and all that. So
I feel like we're going to hear, I think we're going to get more excited about the potential like news that comes out on that day more than we are about deals that are made.
Yeah. Which is how last year was. I think sandwiching COVID in between those two time windows and trying to do that kind of business could definitely lead to some more concern.
My gosh.
Uh-oh.
Guess what? The Milwaukee Bucks have listed Giannis as out tonight against the Indiana Pacers.
Ooh.
What did we just say?
All right, we got to wrap the show. We got to wrap it. We got to get that out. We got to get it out. All right, Hoopballers. He's at VMC. He broke it right here on the show. Giannis is going to be out. Go get those Pacers tickets. And don't be scared if you are. Go to church. We're sending you all the good vibes and all the good energies. Don't forget to go back to hoop-ball.com. Tell a friend, your aunt, or great cousin, and let them know about all the fun Discord stuff and all the goodies that we offer. Don't forget the promo codes. Go to manscaped.com. Go to mybookie.ag. We're going to wrap this and do a quick expedited outro. Had a fun show. Once again, it's DALE007 on Twitter for me at HoopBallGaming over there for the show. And another quick reminder of Vince's, and that's at VM Center on Twitter. Vince, thanks again, bud. And hopefully we do it a lot sooner than the last one.
Yep. Hey, we'll be together soon. We were reunited. We felt so good. Now let's get these dubs.
Yeah, like Jack and Rose. All right, guys, y'all have a good one and you enjoy the rest of your day and watch some college ball. Go Chanticleers.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.